Come to the way of salvation. Come to the way of Allah. Come to the way of salvation. Come to the way of Allah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam wa la Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome, مرحبا, اهلا وسهلا, خوش آمدید, جی آیا نو, in our beautiful special سلسلہ 21st century. Yes, what is 21st century? We heard about this everywhere, about what is 21st century. When we speak about the youngsters, they say, brothers, we are in 21st century. And you talk about something else. So inshallah azza wa jal, in today's silsila, about 21st century, what is actual 21st century? And we've been blessed today with special presence of our guest of honor, Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Saab from South Africa. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab is here for nearly about 3 months on the jadwal of Dawat Islami for different Madni activities from South Africa all the way to here in UK. And Alhamdulillah, right now he's in Birmingham. And we have our some youth here, for local from Birmingham brothers. And we have our Muballighin of Dawat Islami. Let's hear the blessings of the Durood-e Pak. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever recites Salat upon me 10 times during the day and 10 times during the night will attain my intercession on the day of judgment. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here is the word is day of judgment. Just remember, my dear Islam brothers, day of judgment is not a normal day. You heard nowadays Valentine Day, Father Day, Mother Day, but you ever think about what is the day of judgment? Judgment day is not a normal day, it's not an ordinary day, and no one will help on that day apart from one blessed personality, and is our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for that, you need to recite Durood-e Pak. So, sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's listen the recitation of the Qur'an-e Pak and the Kalam from the Muballigh of Dawat Islami.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله ایسا لگتا ہے جلد وہ بلوائیں گے ایسا لگتا ہے مدینے جلد وہ بلوائیں گے جائیں گے جا کر انہیں زخم جگر دکھلائیں گے اب تو گنبد خضرا کے سائے کب تک آقا در بدر کی ٹھوکریں ہم کھائیں گے، کب تک آقا در بدر کی ٹھوکریں ہم کھائیں گے؟ اے خوشا تقدیر سے گر ہم کو منظوری ملی، اے خوشا تقدیر سے گر ہم کو منظوری ملی، رکھ کے سر دہلیز پر سرکار کی مر جائیں گے، رکھ کے سر دہلیز پر سرکار کی مر جائیں گے، روتے روتے گر پڑیں گے ان کے قدموں میں وہاں، روتے روتے گر پڑیں گے ان کے قدموں میں وہاں، روز محشر شاہ محشر نظر جب آئیں گے، روز محشر شاہ محشر نظر جب آئیں گے، خلد میں ہوگا ہمارا داخلہ اس شان سے، خلد میں ہوگا ہمارا داخلہ اس شان سے، یا رسول اللہ کا نعرہ لگاتے جائیں گے، حشر میں کیسے سنبھالوں گا میں اپنے آپ کو، حشر میں کیسے سنبھالوں گا میں اپنے آپ کو، آ میرے عطار آ میرے عطار آ، جب وہاں فرمائیں گے ایسا لگتا ہے مدینے جلد وہ بلوائیں گے، جائیں گے جا کر انہیں زخم جگر دکھلائیں گے۔
تو انشاءاللہ عزوجل ان ٹوڈے وی ڈسکس اباؤٹ 21st سینچری، یوتھ آف 21st سینچری اینڈ دا پرابلم وی فیسنگ ان 21st سینچری۔ سو انشاءاللہ وی سٹارٹ فرام دا مفتی صاحب، دا مدنی پلس آف مفتی صاحب اینڈ دا مبلغ دعوت اسلامی اینڈ آور اسلامی برادرز انشاءاللہ عزوجل۔ الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
Our respected Fazal Bapu has brought up a very relevant and touchy issue.
And that is the condition of Muslims or youth or Islam in general. I think listening to Bapu, I could gather that he's referring to a particular mindset these days that we come across. That people are heard saying very often, this is 21st century. So, don't tell us this or don't tell us that. Even if they do not say much, but there's a message. The message is that things have changed. So let us change. Things are different now. Don't bring old values and impose upon us. So similar kind of message you will find in these phrases when people use, this is 21st century. Okay, we understand and we know that this is 21st century. But the question is that, as a Muslim or as religion of Islam, what has changed for us in this century? Islam, as the final and the last divine religion, was not up to 21st century and not after that. The deen of Islam, it's a way of life and that goes right up to the day of Qiyamah. Is the namaz no more farz in 21st century? Are the values of Islam changed in 21st century that you are allowed to speak lies in this century and you are not allowed before? Or the matters of shame and haya are changed so you can walk naked on the streets because it is 21st century? Or you are now allowed to be disrespectful to your parents, you were not allowed to do before but now you can do it? Is there anything of that sort has happened? Or is there any rule about it? So in reality, as a Muslim, nothing has changed for us. Yes, in the world, there are a lot of changes that we are seeing. It is an age of advancement of science and technology, and it has reached its peak and it's still advancing and we don't know how far would it go. And a lot of things have changed, a lot of interests have changed. Like before, the youngsters would play and do some physical exercise. And nowadays their passing time is to play games. Sit with their iPads and with their mobile phones.
That's why it's difficult nowadays to be keep fit and physical, because they have the games. In olden time, we have a physical games.
Yes,
we have a physical activities.
If there's some physical support for that, you know, for that age, and you have people that are watching over you, and you have somebody coaching you, it's also dangerous actually if you go out and you're all alone with friends and you're free, and these days there are a lot of wrongs that are happening, and you might, you know, end up finding friends that can mislead you or put some wrong ideas in your minds. So it's a catch-22 situation, you know, sometimes you're out there, you're in danger, and you're in the house, you're in danger. The most important thing is that our training from the beginning must be good. And when I say good, it must be based on Islamic values. Then we are safe and then we are protected. This was, I mentioned just by the way, that things are different today. You know, in 21st century you're talking about, things are different. But the core discussion is that with this difference that we are seeing and we observing and we are in, do we change as Muslims and become somebody else and something else? Or should we think in this way that, you know, Islam is global religion, final religion, it's a way of life till the day of Qiyamah. And no matter who you are, where you are, in which century you live, in which country you live, you are still committed to your Lord. You are still committed to your religion. You know,
doesn't communication or meeting people and getting out play a big part in that, in achieving that goal or coming towards that goal, or even trying to get on that first step to maybe go out and socialize? Maybe an Islam points us in that direction of reading namaz with jamaat, for example, 5 times a day. So if we're at work for 3 of the prayers, 2 of them, whether it be 15 minutes, 20 minutes per namaz, if we take that time out and go in congregation and start having that socialization with those types of people that take us on that path, maybe that...
Well, we're not authorized to advise anybody, go for 2 times or go for 3 times.
In the locality.
We can only say go for 5 times. Because we have no right to give concession to anyone. But the order is to go for 5 times. There are 5 namazes that are compulsory upon us. If somebody couldn't do it or did not do it for some reasons, and then Allah knows best how to judge, you know, his situation. But our message would be that 5 namazes are obligatory, and if you are in an area where there is a masjid nearby and you have Sayyul Aqeedah Imam leading prayer as Imam, then you have to be in the masjid. In fact, sometimes we feel that way. You know, if you can't do 5, okay, you do 2 maybe, you do 3 maybe. That's actually, sometimes we feel we are being nice to people. But as I said, that we are authorized to say one thing, and that is to go for 5 times. Not for 3 times, not for 4 times, not for 2 times. Our message must be complete. And thereafter, it's up to people, you know, what they want to do. So inshallah, we will continue giving the da'wat of going 5 times.
Sure.
Not 3 times, not 4 times, not 2 times, not 1 time. Inshallah. You want to say something?
So you mentioned the fact that is the Islam that we were taught 1400 years ago different to what it is in the 21st century? I think that the Islam that we should follow is exactly the same it was 1400 years ago. It's just that the level of completing Islam to that pinnacle has gone a lot more difficult in society, in the way the world has changed in the 21st century. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said that there'll be a time where Islam will be so hard to hold on, such as a hot coal. And I think we live in those times today. With the advancements of technology and everything as well, social media is becoming more difficult to stay on with Deen, especially for youngsters. And parents and elders are oblivious to the destruction of new technologies, and they're allowing their children to go on to these technologies without any of the any restrictions which can leave them. You know, you were saying that people don't go out anymore, but it's harmful, more harmful to sit inside under you watching your parents, and the parents don't know what their children are doing on their mobile phones or on social media, and that can cause a lot of fitna in the household.
No, it's very true, it's very challenging. Being true and practical Muslim is much difficult in today's time than in the past years, because of all these involvements and activities that are taking place around us, and there's so much of glitter and attraction and invitation towards evil, and we are weak, especially when we are young. We are tempted very easily towards things that, you know, seem pleasurable and entertaining, and we see friends, we see, you know, peers, you know, peer pressure, that also plays a role. Yes, it's difficult, no doubt about it. But the question is, when it's more difficult, it's more rewarding. So if our mind is set that maybe this is a blessing for us, if we see it from this angle, that this 21st century that we're talking about and the difficulties of being practical Muslims that we are noticing, it's actually enhancing us in this way, that little we do, it would be counted as big and there'll be great reward. Because we are now doing our good actions according to the teachings of Islam in that time, in that period where the practice has become very difficult. So I think the mindset should be of our youth, that we should not keep harping on it's difficult, it's difficult, it's difficult. Rather change our direction of thinking. That's a blessing of Allah that it's difficult, because we are rewarded more. And it's mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah that any action that is more difficult, it has more reward. So if we take it that way, and then who says that you should be sitting whole night and worshipping? As long as you can do your farz namaz, no peer pressure will stop you from your farz namaz. No social media will stop you from your farz namaz. At least five times daily namaz is one can do. And then there are a few other things that person has to be mindful of, that certain things are haram, are we not going to approach them. Certain things are obligatory, we have to fulfill them, we have to perform them. And then we do our other work, whatever is there. So the most important thing is that even in today's time, in this so-called 21st century or modern age or modern era, as we would say, there are hundreds of thousands of youth all over the world that they are still on the right track. They're still punctual with namaz. They still behave in the correct way, in the best way as Muslims.
Well, I'll mention one thing here. We, you know, when we talk about the things, the beard person and Maulana Sahib sitting, we only think about, they're going to speak about namaz and roza. That's what Mufti Sahib also mentioning. We think in namaz and namaz. That's not only the part of our deen. Our deen compiles everything. In Islam, they have everything. This is only a one part of worship, which is namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. But if you look a bigger picture, Islam got everything inside. First, you get a belief, which is Aqidah. Then you have this worship, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. Then the third thing, you have etiquettes, in which how to do a business, your married life, your divorce and all this stuff. This is also the part of Islam, and very strong part of Islam. When we say, let's come about the deen or this Maulana Sahib, what you want to talk about, the 5th century, and you want to sit on the floor, eat with the finger, this is 21st century, you're going to sit on the table, eat with the knife and forks, and how, why should we wear this turban? This is not a 5th century, this is a 21st century. But this is 21st century, but the Muslim century is always. We're not going to stay only for 21st century. 19th century gone, 18th century gone, this 21st century will go on as well. Then the 22nd century will think as we were the backward. 21st century people were the backward. The 22nd century people will say that. But the Islamic century will never go down. This is still the day of Qiyamah. And the fourth important part of Islam, which is your manners, your etiquette, your dealing with the people. All these things are combined in our Islam, and that's how our religion is perfect. They give us the right direction. You say it's very difficult nowadays. As Ali Bhai saying, oh gee, we go outside this problem, and you mentioning, you tell me where is not problem. Okay, put aside this Islam. You are going to college and school. Do you think it's easy to get the degree? You wake up in the morning, you bear the hardship of sun and cold in winter, you go out, even if it's rain, you don't want to go, but you still have to go to get the degree. So you have a direction there. Okay, I want to get that degree. So everything has a hardship. It's not easy. You want to buy a car,
You have to struggle for it. You have to work hard for it. You want to buy a house, you have to work hard. Then, if you see the MBA, the people who become a doctor, how many medicine they have to memorize. To become a doctor is not easy. To get the PhD degree, to get the medical science is not easy. But the people still doing it.
But with that, it comes the doctors have a nice cars.
They're still doing it.
But they have a nice house.
But if you compare to Deen, they say it's difficult to follow Deen. You tell me, 10, 20 years to learning this medical, to perform 5 minutes namaz, is it difficult? It's very easy. To become a doctor is difficult. To become a punctual tahajjud namaz is very easy for us. But because we don't have this mindset, to get married is not easy. To buy a house is not easy. For everything for the world, you work hard. You struggle. For Deen, we say we don't want to do anything. We don't want to bear any hardship.
I think it's more the physical reward of it. You can see the reward. See if you do any dunyavi cheese, so to speak. Like if you, as Bapu said, you go towards become a doctor, you become a pharmacist, or whatever sort of role you want to do. You physically see those things in front of you. You physically see like a car. You physically see that bank balance every month going up on your monthly income coming up. But when you're doing good deeds, maybe that's physically not there, maybe. But a lot of the times, it's physically there as well, because you feel rewarding, and you're satisfied because you've done something for someone on some occasions. But physically, you don't see that. Monetarily, it's probably not there. And we probably judge success upon money and bank balance. And maybe that's what the 21st century success
but we
is judged upon.
We haven't seen Allah. We believe Allah. That's how the Muslim is. We haven't seen Jannah, but we are struggling for that. So we haven't seen so many things, but we are striving for that. So as a Muslim, doesn't matter is any century. First, we are a Muslim. So in 21st century, is this, you know, that discipline. The main thing is now the most hard people for this to follow the deen. Simple, this is very difficult to come masjid. Maulana sahab, very hard. Dawat Islami brothers, very hard to go with you for Madani Dore, invite people is very hard for us. We have our own line. You know the discipline. Look at the namaz. Our discipline. You work for any organization, 8 hour, 10 hour, you work for that. There's a discipline there. You following for worldly thing, 10 hour discipline. For namaz, you only have 15 minute discipline. But we're not ready for that. For 15 minute discipline in namaz, we're not ready, and we say it's very difficult. Because we haven't tried hard. We haven't done anything for deen. And we simply just, like a fashion, it's very hard to follow the deen. How can it be? It's very easy now. You go in the masjid, beautiful carpet, beautiful heating, electric, AC, everything you have. What about the people when they perform the sajda on the burning sand in the Karbala? They never say to follow the deen is hard. They were happy. For us, we have a carpet and everything. We still say it's very difficult, Maulana sahab. For they never say that the deen is very hard to follow. What about the Bilal-e-Habshi? When they throw on the burning sand, when the stone will be put on the chest, never say this hard to follow the deen. And we, everything is on the plate, we can say. We come here, beautiful heating is on. We haven't struggled anything for deen. And just the fashion we saying is very hard to follow deen nowadays. Kya Mufti sahab?
Hum kya aaj ke daur mein kya struggle kar rahe? Kuch bhi nahi hai, everything is easy for us. Compared to the past people.
Okay, I'll say something. Let's brother.
You know what it is? Basically, nowadays, like in 21st century, as you said, there's more distractions. It's like, for example, money, these worldly things, as you said, like more see people, like, let's say it's namaz, they'll rather go make some money, or they'll do other good, the halal way or the haram way. Like, they'll just go out, make some money and come back. That's what their mindset is. Like, Islam will come, so you bring them to the mosque, they'll come, they'll realize, but once they walk back out, they'll forget about it. That's why you just try, but it's just the distractions are more and more coming, they're getting harder and harder for Islam, for the youths.
I also believe it's how they're brought up, the kids nowadays, how they're brought up, and who they see on TV, that impacts their lives. And who they follow, if they follow someone, like someone in the mainstream, they're going to end up wanting to be like them. So whatever they believe, they're going to forget about.
But
I think
it's our responsibility to mention these things, to make them understand the Muslim, we need to follow one personality, and which is mentioned in Quran Pak. That's the only blessed personality we have to follow. He is the role model. This worldly fashion, they change. Today we're following the pop star of US America. The next day we're going to South Africa one. The third day for the Western one. So though there is no steadfastness, they're changing. But the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah since the 5th Hijri until the day of Qiyamah, his fashion will be never change. So we have to adapt that sunnah, that thing which never change. The every third day you have a dirty jeans, we have a fashion, they are dirty jeans. Name it dirty jeans. Safai nifs iman hai. And you have a dirty jeans. It's called dirty jeans. We need to buy dirty jeans. When you have a bangles here, when you have a tops here, when you have zigzag here, when you have a jeans half here, when you have a jogger like this, two people go in there, when you have tight skinny t-shirt, when you bend there, this thing become naked, when you stand like this, this thing. How can you say that you look good? And when your hair look like also, it's like a, you know, donkey tail. Now people, they pride on this. Come on, fashion suit kare na? Wo achha bhi to lage, ye kya fashion kar rahe hai yaar? Mere aaka jaisi sunnat ho nahi sakti hai. Mere aaka jaisi zulfe kisi ki ho nahi sakti. Unke jaisi cheeze ho nahi sakti hai. So why we going and follow these 21st century and 20th century and this century and this century? Why don't we follow only one century, which is the Prophet century, and which never changed?
True is, I think people are easily misled. If you say whatever's trending now, people tend to follow.
Somebody sent me beautiful thing, Mufti Sahab. We mentioned before. They say in 21st century, yes, we know our phone are wireless. Yes, we know our cooking are fireless. Yes, we know our car are keyless. Yes, we know our food are fatless. Yes, we know our tire are tubeless. But remember, our dress are sleeveless. Our ladies are shameless. Our relationship are meaningless. Our attitude are careless. Our wives are fearless. Our babies are fatherless. Our feelings are heartless. Even our education, they are valueless. Even the children nowadays, they have mannerless. Everything is becoming a less, but still our hope are endless. That is endless. Our hopes endless. खत्म ही नहीं हो रही है बिल्कुल. ये भी चाहिए, ये भी चाहिए, ये भी चाहिए. फिर कहते हैं welcome to 21st century. What 21st century?
21st century. A slogan that is being used to give an impression or paint a picture that we don't need to practice Deen in its original values. But in reality, we need the religion more than any other time than in this age and time. There are so much of issues and evils and problems out there. Our youth particularly is involved in drugs. So many shameless activities, evil activities, evil-sightedness is in practice. Unlawful relationships between males and females, especially the youngsters, that's taking place. Wrong things are happening. And religion will help us. Religion will take us out of drugs, or of shamelessness, or of all evils. You know, a friend of mine is a doctor, and he runs a rehab in South Africa, and he told me the success rate is over 50%. Whereas normally the success rate in drug rehabs is about 3-4%. So I asked him, what is the reason? How come your rehab is giving such a big and great result? He said, the reason is that we use religion to treat the people. We motivate them and we reaffirm in them the aqidah of believing in Allah and the day of judgment and accountability and punishment and the azab and the sawab. And we put them on different methods of treatment, and zikr of Allah plays the major role. They do zikr of Allah many times in a day. And this is how it's helping people. So religion is what would help you in whichever time you are, or age you are, or difficulty you are, or very strong evils that are standing to fight with you and you are weak. But if you go back to our religion, we will find support there. We'll find power there, and we will come back very strong, and our attack on all the evils would be very severe. And we'll destroy those evils, and we'll come out from that difficult situation. So I would say that in 21st century, as people might use this word to go out of religion, rather 21st century is giving us the invitation to come back more deeper into religion. So you can be salvated and you can be saved from all the evils.
MashaAllah, from that, what you're trying to say is basically to recognize evil itself.
Yes.
And to recognize what evil is in its instance. So then not only can you refrain from it and recognize it, but also inform others about it as well.
Yes, you have to have support groups, you know, amongst each other. You know, when the evil is big, when the harm is big, even in Western world, they create support groups. You know, people are suffering with cancer, with AIDS, with other diseases, so they have support groups. What is the understanding of support groups? People that are suffering the similar kind of, you know, harms and diseases and the difficulties, they get together, they form group, they help each other, they talk to each other, they give positive understanding of the difficulty. And the person is empowered from inside, and he feels, I'm not alone. There are many others that are suffering with that difficulty, and they are fighting back, and they're living positively. And trust me, a lot of people live normal lives while they have cancer and while they have, you know, AIDS and they're HIV positive and they have this and that.
Some of them say, yes, to some, that before I knew I had cancer,
yes,
I didn't live life better than I knew since I knew I was diagnosed.
It's because of that support. So now we have evils, no doubt. Mm. We have difficulties. Now, this is where Dawat Islami comes and plays its role, that it provides you that support group, where you will have many other youngsters of your age who are working hard to reform themselves. So when you join those groups, they're still same, like you, young people, they have same feelings, same desires, but they're working hard to get out of that difficulty. And then more and more when they join, they become support of each other. And it becomes easy to fight evil. It becomes easy then to start reading namaz. It becomes easy to say no to drugs. It becomes easy to say no to adultery. This is the idea, that we are in difficulty, no doubt about it. But we need to find ways. We need to find, you know, plans that we can practice and save ourselves and our friends and our families and our cousins, whoever comes in touch with us. We must be able to give them a message. Yes, we all are suffering with this. Let's get together.
Dawat Islami giving you a platform on everything. If yes, there is a social media work, Dawat Islami have their own social media. Pure 100% Islamic. There is no immodesty there. If you look about the media, yes, Dawat Islami has a Madani channel. If you want a gathering, Dawat Islami has a weekly gathering all around the world. You can come in the gatherings, no issue. If you want to travel, yes, I want to travel different parts. If you're keen of like traveling Europe there, no problem. Dawat Islami, Madani Kafir travel all around the world. Come, we can travel from city to city, different countries as well. Now you say, okay, we need to go out for here. No problem. We have a Madani Dore. We can go out. But everything Muslim do, they need to think that I need to earn some sawab. I need to earn some reward for that. So Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah, we have 102 departments. And we were nearly about 200 countries. Our message has been reached. Alhamdulillah, if you go any part of the world, Dawat Islami is there.
I think one of the reasons why the youth of today, we should be looking at the reason why they fall into sin rather than how they should get out of sin. I think that's probably, we should be looking at the solution rather than the cause of the problem. If you look at the reason why some of these youth are going into drugs, if they're going into and falling into sin, we should look at their household as well, how they've been brought up. We should also look at whether they come from broken homes. A lot of people now who fall to drugs, they don't have love or moral support from the family. They look at their friends who are earning money, or they look at a lot of social media. I mean, the way the media portrays music artists, the way the media portrays people who are rich, who have a car, they have this, they have that. And this is what children, or this is what the youth aspire to become like, because it's a vision of success in the modern day world. Whereas what you're talking about something which is what we believe. Well, we believe this, but the thing is, a belief and actually seeing something with your own eyes is very different. You know, when you look at the kids today, when you look at youth today, they want something which they can grasp. They want something which they can earn, they can use. I mean, now we're losing our identity. I think the youth today, they're losing their identity as Muslims. They want to try different things. They want to enjoy their life to the maximum possible way they can by doing drugs, alcohol, falling into sin. And, you know, for example, now, I mean, as, you know, coming from a Pakistani family, you know, we've always been taught that pork is haram. You can never touch pork. And even those youths that go to universities, you know, they go and they do alcohol, but even doing alcohol, they won't touch pork. Why is this? We could look at this example and say that this is because from the day they were very little, it's been ingrained in them that you are not even allowed to touch pork. I mean, people won't even say the word. That's how much it disgusts us. You know, this is how we should be looking at every sin. This is how we should be looking at, you know, this is how every sin should be put to Muslims, that this is wrong. This is our aqidah. This is our faith. This is how we should react and follow. But I mean, the problem with society now is there's so many glorifications out there, you know, especially what we look at. And, you know, as human beings, it's very easy to deter from your faith, very easy to deter away from.
Yes, 100% agree with you. And you raised a very good and very vital question. And that is that what we are saying, what we are talking, and what we are telling you, is this what you believe? And whereas the evil out there is free, and the temptations are at the highest level, the invitation towards sin is there with full attraction, and all these, you know, evil people, you know, that their lives look so, you know, glorious, and they're so affluent, and they look to us, you know, as very comfortable, you know, people with, you know, full of bounties all around them. That's actually something that we need to understand, that it's a struggle of evil and goodness, and that's going to be there. And what we are doing, and this is the right way and the only right way, if we can reaffirm the aqidah and the values of Islam in Muslims and youth, especially those who are affected, we can take them out of that difficulty. But at the end of the day, the salvation and the protection is in firm believing that we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that concept is there in our subconsciousness, that Allah is watching me, then of course there will be a change. That the evil is there. But now we have to try to fight that evil. And now, see, they have got no limitations. The evil will twist to anything and do anything. But we are always restricted to do certain things because we follow laws. We're not free. We follow rules. Because when you're talking about deen, you're not a free person. You have your limitation, you have your restrictions. As our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. Dunya is a prison for the believer. And a prisoner is never a free person. And it's paradise for the kafir. Kafir does anything. Kafir doesn't get married, he doesn't make nikah, he doesn't take responsibility, but he makes babies. Kafir stands up anyway and he urinates. He goes into any restaurant and he eats anything that he wants. We have to worry about, is it halal? Do you have certificate? Was it slaughtered by a Muslim person? You can't drink this, you can't eat this, you can't do certain things in this way, you want to have children. This is desire of everyone, then make nikah. There must be two witnesses, they must see that you took a responsibility, there was offer, there was acceptance, mahar was fixed. So, we do have our limitations, and within those limitations, we have to fight that free evil. So, therefore, it's a very difficult effort. And you need powerful people to fight that. We need youth for that. We are old people. We get tired. We work for an hour and then other 23 hours we need to rest. We need people like you who need 1 hour rest and 23 hours they're ready to work. So that's where the fun is.
You were saying that, the youth, they need to be on, they need to have faith and they need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the problems as well is that when a person sins, they feel as if they've sinned so much that they can't seek forgiveness. And they feel that if they seek forgiveness, that they're going to sin again and there's no point in seeking forgiveness. And this is one of the reasons as well that
that's weakness in attaining ilm-e-deen. When a person has ilm-e-deen, he knows. Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala says, when your enemy, shaitan, does not stop you leading to commit sins, why are you stopping to repent? Because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the door of mercy for you till the last breath in your body. Tawbah, the repentance. So if we know, then whether we commit million sins a day, we are still hopeful and positive and we will go and repent. Because that's our right Allah gave us. So the whole thing is about knowing your options. You know, what is there for you, what is available for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reject a person who comes and repents and he goes back and he commits sin and then he feels guilty and then he comes back and then he repents. Then he goes out there and then he sees things and he gets tempted and he commits sin and he comes back and he repents. He can keep on doing millions times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. When a person commits sins, he commits sins due to the weakness that he has as human being. We are weak. And then you go and you acknowledge the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You acknowledge His power. You acknowledge His kingdom. You acknowledge His ownership. You acknowledge His lordship. You acknowledge that He's the only one who can forgive me and put me into paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that when it's coming from His bondman. So definitely it's a weakness of knowledge. So we have correct knowledge and enough knowledge, and that you will get in the right, you know, environment. People that discuss knowledge, they appreciate knowledge, they sit in the company of ulama, they talk about these kind of things. I mean, you know, it's so difficult. Most of our circles of friends, nobody talks about deen. They're talking about, you know, sports, they're talking about movies, they're talking about girls, they're talking about, you know, computers, they're talking about how to make money, right way or the wrong way. But who really tells you that get ready for the akhirat, you are going to die, there'll be accountability, there's azab in the qabr, there'll be snakes and scorpions in the qabr, there'll be punishment in the akhirah if you don't repent. Who talks? Our friends don't talk, right?
Mufti, I was saying the repentance, mashallah, is mentioned in At-Taibu Min Az-Zambi Kamal La Zambala. The person who repents and he done the sincere tawbah, sincere repentance, is like the one who never committed the sin. Allah Azza wa Jal forgive all the sin. So we always need, every day we need to just tawbah, repent. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us.
Good company, being with good people, people who sit and talk about deen, talk about akhirah. it has very powerful effect and it changes people. Normally by reading books and taking facts from certain literatures and certain articles, it won't have that strong effect in comparison to the effect that you have in the shohbat, in the company of people that who fear Allah. And it doesn't matter in which part of the world you live. Today, you know, when you call about global village, it's a global village, it's like values have become same all over the world. The dress has become same all over the world. The way of thinking, the same kind of, you know, songs and movies, and in fact, the language, even in those countries where people never knew a word of English, now everybody is speaking English. So it's becoming like one thing. And when you sit with good people, no matter whether you are in England or you are in South Africa or you are in America or you are in Afghanistan, you will see the change. I saw a young man in America, in Houston. Beautiful, tall, handsome man sitting in front of me with green turban. After my speech, you know, I wanted to meet him. I felt a lot of noor on his face while sitting on the stage. So I asked him, MashaAllah, who are you, where are you from, were you in the mahal of Dawat Islami? He said, no. I came on the student visa, I was clean shaven. And when, you know, young man comes from Pakistan and he's going to America, he has a lot of wild desires in his mind. They have a concept of going there and enjoying life and, you know, doing funny things. He said, I had all these things with me, but going to college or university, where, he said, I met a friend who used to come with turban and beard and with Madani libas and Islamic dress. He was not fearful. He was not afraid of any pressure, and nobody, you know, mocked at him. In fact, everybody was respecting him. That this person, he loves his religion, and he's not shy or ashamed of what he believes in. So he says his company and his conduct affected me, and I decided that I need to be a good Muslim. And he said, I started changing. So, this is what we need. We need to be with the crowd who cares about deen, who cares about akhirat, who cares about halal and haram, who is there to educate us. And as a community, we can grow with them.
People change, alhamdulillah, in Dawat Islami. If you look, we have so many examples. The Junaid Sheikh, he was a pop singer before. Alhamdulillah, came in Dawat Islami. He's a Madani Bahar on the Madani channel as well. You see the dream and everything. And Mufti Sahib, have met him as well. Alhamdulillah, he changed himself. Before he was singing a song, now he's reading a naat. And he's doing a Darse Nizami, he's become an alim. He left everything, he got money, whatever you think nowadays, the youngster have in mind, the desire that I want this, the car, the money, wealth, everything, got everything. But he left everything for that, and he chose the deen, and alhamdulillah, because whenever I go to Pakistan and Babul Madina, Karachi, I was so humble, so noor, light on his face, and he's becoming an alim. There's so many examples, even in South Africa, people accepting Islam, people coming on the right path. It's just the thing we hear, and people in the Muslim, most people, if you look on the jail in prison in this country, we have about 7-8% only here as a population. But in the prison, we are 24-25% drug dealing, every corner drug dealing, this happening, crime, knife crime, this crime. The thing is, because the people who's living there, they don't care about that. It's not my problem. Their parents say, his friend, why should it be my problem? The friend says, not my problem. Their parents' problem. They go to the masjid, Maulana Sahib say, their parents' problem, not my problem. They go to school, school friend say, not my problem. His own problem. So somebody has to come in the front, leading like a Dawat-e-Islami is leading it, tell them what is the right path and bring them on the right path. Otherwise, the youngster, they're going on the wrong. Nobody's saying any. Everybody's saying it's not my job. I don't care about anyone.
You know, like when you go to college, for example, you get like a lot of groups. Which one do you know is the right group to choose to like associate with or just talk to?
Very simple. A group who are Ashkan-e-Rasool. No, Ashkan-e-Rasool, true lovers of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must love him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said himself, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. That none of you would be a believer, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, till you love me more than your parents, more than your children, and more than every other person in this universe. And that is the iman. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, you will find Ashkan-e-Rasool that whenever they talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're so careful. They choose the most beautiful words to describe his personality. And you will find in Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, no doubt about it. We learn from Ala Hazrat. The most beautiful words that and the adab and respect that he has taught us. You know, Mustafa Jani Rahmat Bilakum Salam. Look at the words that he used. There are people who say he's a man like us. He's just like us. Nothing special about him. But when Ala Hazrat talks, he says that he's not just mercy. He's actually the essence and the ruh and the life of mercy. He's Jani Rahmat. And zamino zaman tumare liye, makino makan tumare liye. All, see, you know, these lessons that are given by our elders, by our leaders. So, of course, you have to see one thing. People that are sending salatu salam, celebrating his arrival in this dunya, mauludun nabi, miladun nabi. That's a clear sign and symbol. You will find it everywhere. And there's no need to be confused, nothing to see more than that. And you are with the mainstream, and that's where the protection is. Protection of faith is to be with the mainstream, not with isolated ideas and groups. And if you find the world, even till today, the mainstream Islam, Muslims all over the world, they celebrate Miladun Nabi. And in fact, 99.99% of the Muslim countries, they have public holiday on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Why is that? It's because the mainstream Islam believe in celebration of Mauludun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Man shazza shuzza fin nar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who broke away from the mainstream, he single will go into hellfire. So we don't need to be part of someone that's totally, you know, strange, alien, isolated. We need to be with the mainstream.
Giving some option in people think in Islam, I mean, is very strict. You don't do this, you don't do this. It's a misconception. No. You have to be, you can't play anything. You can't go anywhere. You only 24 hours sit in the masjid. That's it. This is the Islam.
See, according to Islam, you're not restricted from, you know, certain activities that are proven to be beneficial to your health or to your mind. But Islam would not give, you know, a free license to be everywhere and to go everywhere. If there's intermingling of sexes, then of course, it would not be permitted to be there. You have your own environment. The female do their own things, male should do their own things. And for example, gyms, the public gyms where you go, people come half naked and the men, women, they're all there. So that kind of place would not be allowed. But if you do certain exercise to keep yourself fit, These days you can have certain things even in your home, and you can do your exercise, you can keep yourself fit. These days a lot of youngsters, they believe in bodybuilding, nothing wrong with that, providing that it must be with the right intention. And also, like if, for example, you are a youngster and you're bodybuilding, and then to wear, you know, tight tops and come in front and try to show muscles, that the question is, what are you really trying to achieve out of it? Are you trying to attract the opposite gender? Or is it really good intention that you have behind?
That's why when I go to gym, 2-3 hours I spend, I make muscle, I have to show my muscles to the...
Yes.
That's why I go to the gym.
Intention must be right, that I need to stay strong. I can, if I'm strong, I'm healthy, I can do more ibadat. I can serve my parents, I can carry their weight. I can, you know, help my wife in the kitchen, maybe, you know. I be helpful to my brothers, cousins, family. And if I am powerful, maybe if somebody is attacking another Muslim, I'll use my hands to defend him. There could be a lot of good intentions. Not to use hands to hurt another Muslim, because that won't be allowed. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A true Muslim is that from whose hand other Muslims, from whose hand and tongue other Muslims are protected. So Muslim does not use his tongue to hurt other Muslim. Muslim does not use his hand to hurt other Muslim. In fact, he uses his hand and his tongue to protect and defend other Muslim. So yes, you are allowed to do some amount of exercises, but within limits. And I would suggest that if, for example, you want to do, shouldn't be shy, go and sit with Alim, with Mufti of Islam, and tell him that I want to do this, give me complete advice. Each individual situation could be different from the other person. So advice can be given according to your situation, and then you know that you're enjoying what you want to enjoy, but at the same time, you're not committing any sin. So our mindset should be that whatever I want to do, I will first get advice, and then according to the advice I will do. So I'm saved from committing sins.
What's 21st century is dominating in our lives and our minds. And nowadays, Mufti Sahab, there is something here which dominating not only you, but the general public as well. And he's saying, yes, we have big houses in 21st century, but we still have a small families. But we're still looking a big house. What things is dominating, we need to see which things are controlling our mind. They say, yes, we have numerous degrees nowadays, but lack of intellect nowadays. It's also mentioned that we are advanced in medical science. But if you look at the other side, the health issue also increasing day by day. Every day you heard the new disease and bacteria and these things. Even you advanced so much in 21st century, but still the health issue is increasing. And he said that we have reached to the moon, but we still unaware of the next door neighbors. So what is this 21st century? The Islam teach that you need to be know about your neighbors. If you have a full stomach and your neighbor is hungry, then you're not a true mu'min. That was the teaching of Islam. And it's also mentioned, yes, we have various relationships nowadays, but true love is difficult to find. We have so many friends of Facebook, so many friends of social media, but actual true friends, hard to find. We have the expensive watches, but we don't have time for anyone. This is the 21st century. So we need to think, we need to change our lifestyle. We need to come actually in the boundary of Islam, and then we find the success of life. Otherwise, we here, we're not following any. We say, oh, we're following the people who reach to the moon. We offering you to follow the personality who split the moon into two. Why are you going to those people who just reached to the moon? Just remember, doesn't matter what I have to do, we have to die one day. That's the truth. It's said that if the death was avoidable with the power, with the government, then Fir'aun would have never died. If the death was avoidable with the ministry, then the Haman would have never died. If the death was avoidable with the power, then Rustum or Sarab, who was the powerful person on their time, they would have never died. And they say, if the death was avoidable with the medicine, then Jalinus and Aflatun, they would have never died. And they say if that was avoidable with the love, then child never die in the laps of their mother. So death will come. That's 100% guarantee. We have to prepare for it. So is 21st century or 19th century or any century, we have to ready for that. Our Mufti Sahib have given, because Silsila is nearly ending, so just a small message, if you pass out to everyone.
Well, I think the most important thing that we all need to know is that we should be connected with our Lord Allah Azza wa Jal. No matter in which century we are, whether we are healthy or we are ill, or we succeed or we fail, we young or we old, that's the only way to salvation. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ghaus-e-Azam, whose 11th we celebrate, he was teaching one day and somebody brought in news to say that your ship which left for so and so country, he was a big businessman at that time. His ships, containers, used to travel from country to country, full of goods. So they said that ship has been sunk. It was a bad news. He put his head down and he lifted and he said, Alhamdulillah. And then after a while somebody else came and they said, Hazrat, the first news which reached to you was wrong. The correct news is that your ship has been reached to its destination. He put his head down again, he pondered upon something, and then he lifted his head and he said, Alhamdulillah. Now the people who were with him, studying under him, they were also scholars, and they knew when to say Alhamdulillah and when not to say Alhamdulillah. Now when you hear the news of loss, you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. You don't say Alhamdulillah. And when you hear the good news, then only you say Alhamdulillah. But Hazur Ghaus Pak said Alhamdulillah at both the occasions. Now because he was a great Sufi, great scholar, great Wali, so he must have had a reason. So his students, his murids, they asked him, why you said Alhamdulillah at both the occasions? He replied that my mind was not into what I have lost and what I have gained. When the sad news of loss came to me, I looked at my heart to assess whether my heart is still satisfied with Allah or not. Or is it shaken because of the loss? Or the trust level is gone low. I found my heart is still satisfied. And I thanked Allah for that and he said, Alhamdulillah. And when second time somebody gave me good news, you know, after the news of loss, when you get the good news, you get excited. You know, say that your heart is jumping, rocking. So he said, I looked at my heart and I see, is it still in the same condition? Or is it rocking? He said, I found my heart still same condition, satisfied with Allah. And for that, I thanked Allah and he said, Alhamdulillah. This is the relationship that as Muslims, young or old, man or woman, 21st century or whichever century, we need to connect with our Creator, with our Lord, and thank Him and appreciate the bounties that He has bestowed upon us, the life, the health, the knowledge, the house that we have, shelter, the jobs we have, the salaries we earn, and we live in places where we feel safe, we are protected, All these are ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We breaking His laws. He is giving us. He is not stopping His rosy. He is not stopping His sustenance. But we are doing disservice to His cause. Breaking His laws, breaking His boundaries, using the same money that He gives us against Him. But He still gives us. He still gives us. So, such loving Allah. How we cannot be close to Him and friendly with Him. Leaving Him and being friendly with devil. And with devil's agenda. And with devil's, you know, plans and plots. So that's something that we need to think. Inshallah. As a Muslim, particularly youth, because the center of our discussion was youth. But generally every Muslim, we should look on this, ponder upon it. And create that, you know, awareness within ourselves. As we say, conscientize yourself that Allah is there and He's watching us. And we have to give Hisab Kitab. There is accountability. And the good environment, good mahal would help you, and Dawat Islami is your best option. Come join wherever you are. Attend weekly ijtima'at. Travel in Madani Kafilas. There are day and night activities. Especially youth. You got a place to come and play a role and take over your share of work. They have power, they have vision, they're enthusiastic, they can do wonders.
MashaAllah. Beautiful Madni Pools from Mufti Sahab, inshallah. In the future we bring more silsile. Jazakallah for Mufti Sahab and everybody. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept all the effort. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to follow the commandments of the Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Come to the way of salvation. Come to the way of Allah. Come to the way of salvation. Come to the way of Allah.